Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Are you ready for the Word? Awesome, awesome. Let's go ahead and welcome our online campus. Everyone say good morning. Good morning. God bless you wherever you are. So good to be connected through the internet. Let's grab our Bibles and get right into the Word today. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, open your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we are going to conclude our series on the climb. If you've not been with us, I really encourage you to go back and listen to the messages. We feel, and I truly believe this, God has us in a new season, one that He's telling us it's time to ascend, time to elevate, time to scale those mountains, time to receive what's on those mountaintops. God wants us in the months and year to come to be on a higher level of living than we started this year. Can I hear an amen on that? Absolutely. And there's real steps and real process to get there. And so this is a very practical message today, especially. And so I want to encourage you to take notes, think about it. I'm going to be asking you some provoking questions so that you can ask yourselves your response and then carry those things out. What's the mountaintop? What's the summit? Why are we climbing? If we forget what's on the mountaintop, you just start meandering around the base somewhere because you don't really have this urgency to get to the top. What's on the top of the mountain, right? That's the promise of God over your life. That's the goals and the dreams and the things that God has assigned you to accomplish. That could be things in your marriage. That could be things in business. There could be ministries that God has already told you He once started. And it's important that we have an urgency to get there and that we carry out the process to arrive at the summit. So the summit is all of those things that God has been talking to you about. And that's kind of where we are, where people so many times we pray about what God talked to us about. We share it with other people, what God talked to us about. We even get excited and we say hallelujah to what God is talking to us about. But actually climbing and pursuing it and getting closer to what the Lord is talking to us about, that's where we're headed. Are you ready? I'll preach to the one person over here that's ready. Thank you, Pastor Brock. I'm going to stop asking you questions and just telling you you're ready. All right, I'm done asking questions. I'm not getting a response. You're ready. Let's do this. Joshua chapter 1. All right. This is a great correlation, though it's talking about possessing a promised land. It's the same thing because that promised land to Israel is like the summit that God has been talking to you about. You see, God gave Israel covenant promises. God had given them dreams. God had given them word about the summit or the promised land. But there was still action they needed to carry out to possess it, to get in it, and to take hold of it. And so it's a great correlation with where we're heading in this metaphor of the climb. And so those of you who are unfamiliar with their Bibles, basically God's children, Israel, were enslaved in Egypt for 450 plus years. Moses, some of you know that story. God used him to bring his people out of Egypt through a wilderness to the Jordan, which is a river, which is right on the threshold of his promise in Canaan. That was the promised land. And now Moses is dead. Joshua takes over, and Joshua is now saying and hearing from God, it is time. And that's what I feel in my spirit for us, is that it's now time. Time to be done wandering in the desert, time to stop waiting for the promise to come to pass, and God puts in the heart of the man of God to say, it's time to go in and possess the land. It's time to go scale your mountain and climb and possess your summit. And that's why it relates really well to where we are. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. If you have your Bibles, underline the word now. Once you start seeing that God many times begins to shift the season and to say, that season is over, this is the now season, okay? And now that means you have to act in this season differently than what you were acting in the last season. So you can get used to wandering, you can get used to waiting, and when God steps up and says it's now, you need to change something about your mentality. Come on, somebody. Amen. Therefore, arise. See, it's a now season, but you've got something to do. Arise. Cross the Jordan. Okay? That's still their responsibility. You and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. And I want you to see that as you walk forward, you possess it already. See, it's ours, but we still have to step into what belongs to us. See, every place you put your foot, it's going to belong to you. But here's the key. If you don't step there, if you don't ascend to that new level, if you don't go there, though it's yours, you don't possess it. But if you grow there, if you go there, you will possess it because you inherit it. It already belongs to you. See, what happens to us is we want to receive it and not have to do anything to step into it. Amen. We want God to give us that without us having to change anything. And what God is saying is, I've given it to you, but you have a responsibility to do the work and the action to step into that new level, that dream, that goal, that summit. Come on, I'm preaching already, and I just started this thing. Come on now. But you have to step. You have to put your foot on some new ground. You see, you don't get the new ground when you're standing on the old ground. You don't get the new level of blessing standing on the lower level of action. Come on, somebody. Man, I don't know what I ate this morning, but I'm going to eat it again next Sunday. I have given it to you just like I spoke to Moses from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. It doesn't say no man won't try to stand before you. And actually, it's insinuating that some will try, but when they try, just keep stepping. Just keep climbing. If you think the blessing of God is going to come into your life, the promise of God is going to come without any opposition or without any contest, you're sorely mistaken. But what God is saying is, no matter what steps in front of you to block you, no matter what adversary or challenge comes to keep you from claiming your summit, he's saying, don't worry that it came, just keep climbing, just keep walking, because it will not be able to stand against you. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land. That's something that I receive as a personal responsibility right now. I sense that on this house. It's that God is speaking to your pastors here about helping give you possession of the promise that God has given you. But all I can do is lead you to action. See, Joshua could say, we're going over, we're taking the land, but if all the people still sat on the other side of the Jordan, no matter how much he wanted or was even anointed to give them possession, if they don't follow and act, they still would not receive the land. But I sense that in my spirit. We are here to help give you what God has promised, the possession of your land, of your summit. Only be strong and very courageous. This is the second time God has talked about courage and strength. God's making me nervous now. He's hinting into something that I don't necessarily like. That means there's going to be things in this process or journey that make me nervous and cause me fear and anxiety. God wouldn't say be strong and courageous if it wasn't going to take courage and strength. Again, we think God wants me to have it. He's just going to plop it in my lap. It's just going to come into my mailbox. I'm going to pull the handle on my mailbox like a slot machine, and God's just going to give me money. Shama, 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 shama. It's not a casino, my friend. This is a climb. This is a growth process. This is you inheriting and becoming something, not just getting something. This is you becoming great, not just getting a one-time great miracle, but you living on a higher level. Come on now. They were moving into a territory. They were moving into a nation that they would build. It wasn't a one-time blessing. God gave them one-time blessings in the wilderness. He fed them. He provided for them supernaturally. But they needed to learn how to build cities, grow crops, and stay supplied, and stay wealthy, and stay conquerors. Amen. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So God's telling them to do something. He's telling them to keep meditating on the scriptures daily, keep speaking the covenants of God daily. You will meditate on it day and night. These are actionable things. These are habits that God is putting into their lives. We'll talk about that. So that you may be careful to do all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. And I'm going to get into that, but you will make your way prosperous. Basically, it's this. You're not waiting for circumstances to make you prosperous. You're not waiting for other people to make you prosperous. It's you and God. You're stepping, you're climbing, and as you grow, you're making your way prosperous. You're not giving it away to somebody else's authority or waiting for permission from time and circumstance. It's time for you to go, and you go. As you go, you make your own prosperity. You make your own way successful and prosperous based on how you obey God and you keep going. Amen. Make your way prosperous, then you will have success. Have I not commanded you be strong and courageous 3 times? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So he's not telling you just be courageous in yourself, but he's telling you be courageous because I'm with you. When those moments come that make you fearful, when those moments come that make you doubt what you heard in the light because you're standing in a dark moment, don't be afraid because I'm with you. My rod and my staff, they're going to come for you. I'm still going to prepare a table before you in the presence even of those enemies. Just because they're there doesn't mean I'm not there. Come on now, someone. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And I love, underline that word, 3 days. That's measurable. That's the date on the calendar that we decided everything's going to change. That could be this weekend for you. That could be a date on the calendar such as today, where you circle it in your calendar and saying, from this day forward, we're crossing the Jordan. We're not going back to the wilderness. I love that. It wasn't that ethereal, super spiritual, charismatic, one day God will bless you. One day you will go and, you know, possess your summit. It was no, today. Or in this instance, 3 days from now. So if it's more comfortable to be scriptural for you, then say Wednesday, you're crossing over. If that helps you, because then you have a Bible verse on it, okay? But there's a specific, definite moment in time where they drew a line in the sand and they said, from this day forward, we're no longer wanderers. We're no longer people that are waiting for something else. We're walking into what God has promised, and we're going to start every day moving closer and closer to possessing and receiving. See, we're actionable. We're climbing. We're going to the top. We're not wandering around the base in the wilderness anymore. From this day forward, in 3 days from now, from that day forward, we're putting one foot in front of the other, and we're possessing the land that God gave us. Today, if I titled this message anything, I would call it Climb Like a Boss. Come on. Climb like a boss. There's 2 critical questions I'm going to ask you today. Number 1, will you own your climb? And number 2, will you make the decision to climb? That's what I want to talk to you about. Climb like a boss. Number 1, will you own your climb? I will own this mountain. It belongs to me. God had promised that land to Israel, which is why they knew they had to focus on that land rather than go find another land. Because that's the one God promised them. That's the one he would be with them to conquer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the assignment. That's the summit that God has said it belongs to you, though it's not currently in your hand. I just want to make sure you hear that, please, scripturally. It may not currently be in your hand, but as long as God's already said it in his mind, it's already in your hand. It's the way God speaks. The Bible says God speaks the end from the beginning of a thing. And so don't wait and say, well, it's not mine until it's in my hand. It's yours because it's connected to you by promise and by God who cannot lie. It's yours because that's where God sees you if you'll obey his word and make the proper choices. So in reality, in God's mind, if he says it's yours, it's yours. Don't wait for the money to come into your hand to one day say you're supposed to be prosperous. I am prosperous. God's prosperity is mine, which is what then causes me to step towards prosperity and to do the actions and the work to receive prosperity. But if I deny prosperity, I don't believe it belongs to me, I won't do the corresponding actions to step into prosperity because I think poverty is my lot in life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Same thing with freedom over addiction or freedom over a bondage, or same thing with a good marriage, or the same thing with a ministry that God's put in your heart. It's what God's will is. It's what my future holds. It's my summit. It belongs to me. And then I begin to move towards it. It is mine. I own it. It is mine. If I know it's mine, I'll also fight you for it. If I know it's mine, I'm not double-minded. And so when the devil says I can't have it, I'm already fully persuaded, devil. You are far too late. You cannot lie to me. Circumstances don't tell me it belongs to me. The devil doesn't tell me whether or not it belongs to me. My grandma and grandpa, my neighbors and family, the city or people I'm around, my associates, they don't get to tell me if it belongs to me. God told me it belongs to me. I have to own it. It is mine. It is yours. And until you get to the point where you own it like it's yours, then you're playing with it and you're borrowing it. You have excuses of why not, it does not belong to you. But the moment you know it is mine, then you start possessing the thing. Come on, somebody. Come on. Climb like a boss. Man. Mic drop. But I can't because it's attached to my head. I will own this mountain. Verse 3 in the text. The land which I've given you, right? The land which every place which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. That's why they treaded. That's why they walked. It's my responsibility. It's been given to me, but I need to take it. Listen to me. It's no one else's responsibility to climb my mountain or to make me climb. It's my mountain. And no one can climb it for me. It's my mountain. It goes back to my ownership. Here's the other part of that. I don't need any other human being to wake me up and go to work on my dreams, on my goals, on my assignments. Amen. Remember in school when you gave someone else your assignment to do? That wasn't right. You're like, oh, I didn't know that. I'm telling you, that wasn't right. It's the same thing in this. No one else can do your homework for this. No one else can climb your assignment. Come on now. No one else can do the work for your dream. Come on. And for what God has called you to do. Listen to me. I don't need another human being to wake me up in the morning and go to work on my dream or to go accomplish my goals or my assignments. It's my responsibility to push myself. Now, I have no problem with coaches and pastors and friends doing that, but if you are always needing them to call you in the morning to wake you up to go to work on your dream, something else needs to shift. You see? It's my responsibility to push me, to prod me, to motivate me, to climb my mountain. It belongs to me. I encourage you to interview yourself and see whether or not you would hire yourself to climb your mountain. See, here's the deal. I own a mountain, and I'm hiring someone for an expedition to climb it and bring back its riches. So you're the owner of that mountain, but you're really the only person that you can hire to climb it. So you're the owner and the employee. Ask yourself, if you were to put yourself in an interview to climb that mountain, and as the owner and the boss of the mountain, you can easily say, I have inherited a great sum. I have inherited this vast wealth in these dreams and in these goals and in these promises. I want to know if you're the one that's capable to climb that mountain. Remember, you own it, but you're also the owner and the employee. No one can climb it for you. So now talk to yourself. Are you capable? Do you have the motivation? Are you self-motivated? That's a question you should ask people when you hire them, right? What if their response was, no, I'm going to need you to call me every morning and tell me I'm wonderful. And I'm going to need you to wake me up every morning and encourage me of why I should go to work today and tell me it's worth it every day. Are you going to hire that person if you're an employer? You can ask the employee, are you willing to learn? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to make yourself better to climb my mountain and to receive the riches of that mountain? No. I read all I needed to graduate high school, and I choose to deliberately not read anything else, ever. I even avoid recipes, because I don't want to learn anything else. If it's not on Netflix, I'm not having it. Are you going to hire that person? No, come on, let's be genuine. Are you hungry for growth and development. What are you going to do when it gets discouraging? Oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit. And I'm going to blame everybody else for why I'm not getting to the top of the mountain. Come on now. Let's be honest. Would you hire you? Don't be that honest. So if you're like, no, I would not hire me. But do you understand that mountain belongs to you? You're the boss, you're the owner, and you're the only employee. So if you don't have that hunger to get to the top, then don't blame God for not getting to the top. If you don't have a desire to learn and to grow and to do the work, if you're kind of a lazy, apathetic person, admit it so that you can change it. Because if you don't change it, no matter how much you quote or confess or pray for the summit, your apathy, your lack of work, your lack of sowing involves no reaping. Come on, are you understanding what I'm saying? As much as I want you to get to the summit, as much as God wants you to get to the summit, you have to be qualified to do the work or be willing to learn the qualifications as you grow up the mountain. You have to have self-motivation. You have to be a good employee. You have to be a good climbing buddy. You hear what I'm saying? Would you hire you? So the second question I said I would ask is, will you commit to the climb? Will you commit to the climb? It's a great phrase I want to put into your belief system, into your logic, and it's just this. We climb by structure, not by emotion. I want to unpack that for you, please. We climb by structure, not by emotion. See, the Bible repeatedly told the people, be strong and courageous, which means there would be times of fear and times of intimidation. And what God was saying was, climb anyway, or keep walking through the land, keep marching, keep doing the next thing you need to do to possess your land. God said, be strong and courageous, which means emotionally, there would be times that you don't want to climb. Emotionally, times you're intimidated to climb. Emotionally, times that you're afraid or whatever to climb. And God was saying, do it anyway. That is climbing by discipline, by choice, by structure, okay, not by emotion. Too many times, again, employees, will you come to work when it's raining outside and cold? No, I'll only come to work when it's 75 and sunny. Will you work when you don't feel like working and you're tired? Of course I won't work when I don't feel like working and I'm tired. I'm an American. Are you hearing me? We work, we climb, we do our daily disciplines, our daily actions by structure, not by emotions. God said to them, meditate on this book of the law daily. What does that sound like? Structure. Because he knew there were going to be days that they didn't want to meditate on the book of the law, right? But he said, do it every day. That structure. What did he know? He knew if they did it every day, it would help them every day to get closer to the goal and to the summit. See, these are daily disciplines, daily habits. There would be days that they said, I don't feel like meditating on the word. I don't feel like talking about the word. And God said, do it anyway. There would be days where it's not just feeling based. There would be days that they say, I already know it. Why do I need to meditate on it again today? Come on now. That's where most of us fall. It's not that we would admittedly say, I don't need the word today. It's that we're like, I already know it's there. And so I'll touch base with it every few weeks. And God was just saying, meditate on it daily. These are micro habits. These are structures that God was putting into them to help them possess the land. Meditate on this book of the law daily. Do this even if you don't feel like it. Remember what's in the law. The law is not the Ten Commandments, like some of us think that's the book of the law. The book of the law would actually be the first five books of the Bible. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So that is full of God's promises, that is full of God's covenants, that's full of testimonies of God's faithfulness to covenants. That's also full of right and wrong decisions and what you should know to do and how to do right, so that when wrong is presented to you, you already know what the right thing to do is. And so God is wanting them to consistently have within their mind testimonies of his faith, all the covenants, the whys, the promises that would keep motivating them, all of the right and wrong choices to help them make the right choices as they're presented with all the things that will come against them as they climb their mountain or as they possess the land. God is not just telling them to do this religiously. He knows they need to do it consistently to keep it in front of them as they climb for their benefit. We live by structure, not by emotion. And I love that phrase in that passage that we read where it says, you make your way prosperous. What is that telling me? It's telling me don't wait for circumstances, because there's going to be times where circumstances make you feel hindered or circumstances make you feel afraid. And God is saying again, don't be moved by emotion. You're moved by decision. You're moved by structure. You go make your own prosperity. You go make your own day victorious. Don't wait for the day to be victorious. You make it victorious by doing the right actions every day and deciding to do things God's way, no matter what your emotions or your thoughts or your feelings say. You go make your way prosperous. You live by structure, not by emotion. The backstory of this passage in Joshua. In Numbers chapter 13, I referred to it earlier on in the series, but in Numbers chapter 13, the Bible talks about 12 spies that they sent into this very same promised land 40 years earlier. And those 12 spies came back and they reported a negative report about the promised land, all except for two of them, Joshua and Caleb, one of them being Joshua that we're talking about today. They actually said, we should take the land now. But the other 10 spies said, there's giants in the land. There's walled and fortified cities in the land. They came back with all the circumstances of why they could not walk into and possess their promised land. By the way, all of which God knew was already there when he told them it belonged to them. It wasn't like God said, I give you that summit, I give you that promised land, and I forgot that there is opposition there. And there's war and challenge there. No, God includes it in the promise. But in the promise, he's also promising you the ability to do what it needs to be done to overcome that opposition. Okay, it's almost like we pretend like God didn't really realize how hard it was going to be. And God did realize. That's why he said, be strong and courageous three times this time going in. What I want you to see in the comparison of these two opportunities is this. The first group, 40 years earlier, they were moved by their emotions, not by structure. Nothing changed 40 years later in regards to what was in that promised land as it comes to opposition. You realize the same opposition was in the promised land 40 years later as was 40 years earlier. The cities were still there. The walls were still there. There were giants still there. It was all the same. It was just this. They finally decided to stop being moved by their emotions. God said, go in. God said, go in 40 years earlier, but they chose another option. It's weird. God said, go in, and they created a second option. As if God said, you don't have to go in. God didn't say you don't have to go in. God said go in. They created, well, maybe not now. And what do you think in saying no, what do you think they were thinking in their head? There's a few things I came up with that they were thinking. One is that we'll come back later for more favorable circumstances, like the giants will just all die and they'll all just go away. Or I'm giving up the summit altogether and I'm going to go pursue something that God didn't tell me to pursue. Think about that, would you? The difference between the two situations is the first group was moved by their emotions. They were afraid, so they ran. They felt like grasshoppers, so they ran. They felt like it was too big for them, so they ran. They didn't feel like doing the warring and the work, so they ran. They were moved by emotion rather than by structure. See, when Joshua made this final decision, we're going to go in, the same opposition was lying in the land. So when they saw a giant, rather than running, they said, we're going to take down that giant. He's in our way. But they're like, but we're scared, but we're still going to take down the giant. We're still going to discipline. We're going to live by structure. Even if we feel afraid, we're going to do it anyway. They see Jericho. I don't want to do it, but we're not moved by our feelings. That's what God said do, so we'll do it anyway. Are you hearing me? We live by structure, not by our emotions. See, the first group, the 40-year other group, they focused on excuses instead of solutions. And they allowed themselves to believe quitting was an option and turning back was an option. We live by structure, not by emotion. I love structure. Structure needs to come into the body of Christ, especially the Spirit-filled church. You know, I am a tongue-talking pastor. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the prophetic. I believe in the moving of the Spirit, and God does speak through dreams and visions. God speaks through his word, and God speaks to our spirit, spirit to spirit. I believe in the peace of God that passes understanding and rules like an umpire. I believe God speaks, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of us accuse God of talking and being double-minded because what happens is this. As Spirit-filled people, when things get tough or things become challenging or things get boring, we always say God's talking to me about switching assignments. And we use our spirit fillness as an excuse to jumping from mountain to mountain, looking for more favorable circumstances, and hopefully we'll land on a mountain without any giants. It's amazing how many people say God's talking to them because the journey got hard. He wasn't talking to them when they were getting blessed financially and everything was going well and people were singing their praises. You're amazing, you're amazing. God wasn't talking then. But when they hit a giant, or they hit a wall, or they have to get up early, or they have to keep a commitment they don't want to keep, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's talking to them about something else. I just want to be honest. I believe that's our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and I don't believe that's the Holy Spirit talking. Thank you for letting me say that. There are times people sign up for things, to be volunteers at things, to commit to things. And as Spirit-filled people, so many times we have to learn to be committed to our word. Committed to just do it. But you're like, what happens is the alarm bell rang and it's early and you're like, oh, I don't want to go and do that today. God's talking to me about something else. I didn't feel led today. If you need to feel led, go grab a pencil and get to work. Come on. Let's get to work. Let's do what God has called us to do. Whether you feel like it or not, are you a good employee on your mountain? Are you going to be faithful to do the job when it's hard, when it's boring, when it's dull, when it's difficult, when it's not being celebrated? Will you still climb my mountain? Because there's wealth on that mountain. There's prosperity on my mountain. If you don't climb, nobody's climbing. See, if you don't climb your mountain, that's the deal. Nobody's climbing. You can't make someone else climb your mountain and fulfill that dream and that call of God on your life. So what is structure? Structure is another way to say structure would be pre-choice choices. Pre-choice choices. Write that down. Pre-choice choices. Choices that we determine will be our response before we are faced with a decision for something. Verse 8 says, I will do what is written in the book. I will do what is written in the book. That means before I feel afraid, I've already determined what I'll do when I feel afraid. Pre-choice choices. You could use it in the area of sin. Someone offers you something that you shouldn't have, but you already know, I will never steal anything. So then you won't take that thing. You've already decided. You don't wait till the moment the opportunity is there to decide whether or not you're going to be a thief. I've already predetermined I'm not going to be a thief. I've already predetermined I'm going to be faithful to my spouse. So it doesn't matter what circumstance or situation is offered to me on my journey. I've already made a pre-choice choice of how I'm going to respond. I'm not waiting till the heat of the moment. I'm not waiting for what I feel like in that moment. I'm not waiting for if I'm having a fight with my spouse in that moment and then it's offered to me. Come on, somebody. I made a pre-choice choice. I have a structure. I will make the right choices. Come on. I'm not waiting till I'm in trouble to decide what I'm going to do. Also, I already know, I have comprehension, I have understanding that there's going to be temptation on my mountain. There's going to be opposition on my mountain. And so I've already predetermined some things and I'm expecting those things before they come. They do not catch me off guard. They do not overwhelm me when they come. You think to yourself, I knew you were coming. I already know what I'm going to do in this situation. And I just do the habit. I do the choice. I do exactly what my structure determined to me to make. And I, regardless of what I feel. Amen. I will do what is written, despite what I feel, despite what obstacles I face, what resistance may come my way. Keep this phrase in your spirit. I pray this one sentence echoes in your ears. And it's just this, stay in structure. Stay in structure. Stay in structure. You have a bad week. Stay in structure. Go to church. Don't decide whether or not you're going to go to church 30 minutes before church. Don't decide to go to church after you've had either a good week or a bad week. It's like my structure, you see? Simple habits, routine. I don't go by emotion. Do I feel like going to church today? I don't ask myself that question. It's my structure. My family goes to church. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. It's Sunday. It's Saturday night. Whatever service you choose to attend. It's my structure. Why? Because I know in my structure, I'm going to hear the encouragement, the faith. I'm going to receive anointing. I'm going to receive refreshing. And on the days I don't feel like going and I go anyways, I'm going to challenge you. Those are the days you actually grow the most. Because you put your flesh down. Everyone wants to do fasts. Like they want to fast this and the fast that. How about making your flesh do what it doesn't want to do? Like get up out of bed and go to church when it's beautiful outside or when it's raining outside or when it's, you know, I understand when it's like slick and stuff like that. Maybe it's a little dangerous. So then you turn it on the internet and let us risk our lives so that you can go and sit in your house with coffee and pajamas on. Don't worry. My kids, they're okay if I go to heaven. It's fine. I have a bad week. I'm going to church. Come on now. Our finances are tight, but I will tithe anyway. How many times? See, structure. I'm going to stay in structure. There are weeks I don't feel like tithing. There's days you don't feel like tithing. There's days where there's pressure on my finances. Every man and woman of God has always had pressure on their finances at some point, and they have already made a decision what they're going to do. They are going to give God first fruits anyway. They stay in structure. They're not waiting for circumstances or if they feel like it. It's part of the daily discipline, the weekly discipline that helps them become the man or woman of God and fulfill the promises of God on their lives. Stay in structure. Simple things like even reading the Bible or reading books that would increase your talents and abilities or skills in things. People say, I don't have time to read. Read anyway. Find a way. And I'm not saying read 2 and 3 and 4 hours. I'm saying read something every day that will move you towards climbing to the top of your mountain. Whether if that's 5 minutes, if that's 10 minutes, do something. Get audiobooks in the car while you drive, but stay in structure. I don't feel like reading. Read anyway. I had a bad week and I want to be left alone. Go to small group anyway. We just started small groups, and guarantee you the first 2 or 3 weeks when it's time to go to small group, something's going to happen that's going to try to get you off or make you, I don't feel like going to small group. Go anyway, because you're staying in structure and you need the fellowship and you need that in your life. I don't want accountability sometimes, people say, but you stay accountable anyway. You stay accountable to friends, to mentors, to pastors, to coaches. You do it anyway. Our flesh doesn't like pre-choice choices and structure because it wants escape hatches. It wants to do what it feels that day and use millions of excuses to justify itself. And let me tell you something. Each one of those excuses all lead to not climbing your mountain that day or that week. Every time you give in to an excuse of not to stay in structure of growth or the habits that it takes to climb the mountain, every time you give in to those excuses, that's one more step that's keeping you away from climbing your mountain that day. See, that's the thing about giving in to yourself and your flesh. It's keeping you from the summit. It's keeping you from the promise. It's keeping you from the top. Every time you give in to those feelings, those emotions, it may feel good to stay in bed. It may feel good to be selfish that day. It may feel good to do what your flesh and your fear is telling you. But all of that, I'm just telling you, is you're giving up the summit to do it. So structure is just habits that we form. Habits are things we do every day that determine our eventual outcomes. Your habit either supports or sabotages your efforts to climb. Your habits either support or sabotage your efforts to climb. And I'm not talking about these huge goals and huge habits. I'm talking about things that I would call micro habits. Small steps every day that get you up the mountain. Do something every day that moves you forward in the dreams and in the goals that God's given you. It could be, like I said, 5 or 10 minutes of reading a day. It could be getting around somebody who's been on that mountaintop that you're pursuing once a month for a cup of coffee. It could be whatever. Whatever God is spelling it out for you, some micro habits. You know, even in your health, so many times people wait until they have everything figured out and they give themselves unreasonable goals. where they're like, I'm going to exercise 4 hours every day, 7 days a week. And as of right now, they don't even know where their tennis shoes are. Maybe for you, a step in health, a micro habit that you can say, I will do this structure every day is I will drink one additional glass of water on a daily basis. That's a micro habit. That's a win. Amen. Or I'll remove pop this week, and then we'll do it again next week. I'm just talking about habits and structure and those days. I don't feel like drinking a glass of water today. You do it anyway. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's the same thing in your Bible. It's the same thing with your finances. It's the same thing with relationships. It's like, I'm going to make friends with 10,000 people this year. How about you make one quality friend this year, and you make that friend by saying, we're going to get coffee once a month. And that it advances the goals, these micro habits that we need in our lives. The only way to get rid of a bad habit is to replace it with a good one. Do you understand that? Habits don't just go away. Bad habits don't just go away. You can't say, shoo, 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 bad habit. The only way to defeat a bad habit is to replace it with a good one. So I ask you this, what is one habit you can start today that will move you one step closer to your summit? What is one habit you can start today that will move you one step closer to your summit? And you begin to do that deliberately, intentionally, and you do it and you embrace the structure of it. Brock, would you come? I want to close with a story. It's called the 20 Mile March, and it's a story that I found in the book called Great by Choice. Isn't that a great title for a book? Not by circumstance, not by other people, but Great by Choice, by Jim Collins. It's about a race to the South Pole in 1911. For one team, it would equal victory and fame. For the other, it would equal tragedy and loss. It's the story of Roald Amundsen and Robert Falcon Scott. Two equally matched teams, but one would live and the other would perish. One would achieve his goal and the other would lose everything. So what made the difference? Some analysts pointed to starting points where they each started. Others, the gear that they chose. But one difference seems to be consistent and the point that all agree was a major deciding factor. Scott would wait for favorable days, and he would drive his team as far as their limits could take them. And on bad days, they would stay inside and they would just wait around. Amundsen would march 20 miles every day, regardless of the weather or circumstances. He was not quick out of the blocks on one day and then lax the next. He didn't overextend his expectations. He simply worked his daily routine no matter what he felt or the conditions brought him that day. Scott fell 34 days behind in the race, and when he finally reached the South Pole, he found that Amundsen's flag had already been there for the last month. Then Scott, on his return home, his whole team fell from exhaustion and starvation and lack of provisions. They would expend far too many calories on a daily basis than they should have. And they ran out of strength and food. In short, it was Amundsen's consistent daily steps that brought him to his goal and preserved his life as well as the dream. Those that run some days and sit idle other days often fail to see their dreams come true. And they also burn out far quicker than those who just consistently make the right choices on a daily basis. Too many times people are waiting for ability or resources and all this time to go run 100 miles rather than just consistently making those choices to stay in structure and to do those daily micro habits that every day get them a little closer and closer to the goal. I see it a lot in church. There's people who they show up and they're like, I'm going to pray for 4 hours every day. And then they skip a day and they feel guilty, so they don't pray for months. Well, what works for you in this season of your life? Can you pray for 5 or 10 minutes on a daily basis? Stay in structure. Are you understanding that? It'd be far greater for you to pray 10 minutes a day, every day, than for 4 hours once every 2 years. Same thing with your Bible. Some people wait until they have hours to spend in the Word, and so they don't spend any time in the Word, rather than a micro habit of, I can spend this much time in the Word on a consistent basis. Same thing with your goals to reach the summit. There's some reading, there's some education that needs to happen. And so you're waiting for time to open up till you have all this expendable time. When is that ever gonna happen? to get the education rather than on a daily basis buying some books or some audiobooks and just listening to things that would advance you as a leader or advance you as a career. 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, maybe as you drive the kids to school, that's your time to grow in something. Whatever those micro habits need to be. That's why Amundsen won the race. He didn't live by emotion. He figured out what the path was. He figured out what his habits and routines needed to be to stay in structure, no matter if it was a good day or a bad day, if he was sick or he was well. You just got up and you just kept stepping up your mountain on a daily basis. You made your way prosperous. I want to do something as we close. I want to ask you for a response, a back and forth exchange. Too many times people wait for perfect conditions. But then I challenge us, why would God say be strong and courageous if there wasn't going to be opportunities in imperfect conditions and circumstances? And so I'm going to say something, and when I say it, like it's a circumstance that comes against you in your climb, I want you to repeat after me that I will march 20 miles anyway. I will march 20 miles. That's all I want you to do in this, okay? And so I'm going to list off an opposition or opposing thing, and when I do, we're all going to respond, I'm going to march 20 miles. Now, those are those micro habits. Those are those daily choices. Those are those things that God has talked to us about. I'm going to go to church anyway. I'm going to tithe anyway. I'm going to study anyway. I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to make the right choices anyway, no matter what stands in front of me or what I feel like that day. So the first one I offer us is this. I see a giant, and your response is, I will march my 20 miles. Say it with me. Ready? I see a giant. I will march my 20 miles. See, because that's going to happen, right? You're going to see giants, and now you've made a pre-choice choice of what you're going to do. See, in the scriptures, the Bible says that they felt like grasshoppers. And so you can say, I feel like a grasshopper. And our response is, I will march my 20 miles. There's going to be days you feel inadequate. There's going to be days you feel insecure. There's going to be days you feel like a failure. And like yesterday, you didn't do it right. But you know what you're going to do today? You're going to march your 20 miles anyway. You're going to make your phone calls. You're going to read your books. You're going to go to church. You're going to make those appointments that you have. Are you hearing me? Yeah, I feel insecure today. Yeah, I feel like a grasshopper, but I'm going up my mountain a little bit today. On days I feel tired, our response is, I will march my 20 miles. I feel fear. I will march my 20 miles. I feel bored. I will march my 20 miles. I feel like it's never going to happen. I am going to march my 20 miles. Isn't that awesome? We all feel like that sometimes, but we're not moved by emotion. We're moved by habit and by discipline and structure. Consistency over time beats spurts of enthusiasm any day. I will daily do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, and I will keep growing and I'll keep improving. I'm going to end differently today. Go ahead and stand up. There's not going to be a big altar call. I'm going to have a closing word of prayer. And up in the front, I have these little carabiners. Pastor Ken talked about them last week. And you can take one home with you. Put it on. Maria put one on her purse last night. It encouraged me this morning to see it on her purse. I thought that was awesome. You can put it on your keys or whatever. But it's something that I want you to see. Remember, I asked you two questions today. One, will you take responsibility for your mountain? And number two, will you choose to climb? That's what this is for. You're hooking into to the climb. We're ending this series. We start a new one next week. And so God is saying, will you climb? Will you do the daily work? Will you stay consistent, even when it's hard, even when Pastor Kevin's not preaching on it on a weekly basis? Will you do the habits? Will you create the pathway and the habits that you need to do, and you'll commit to do those things to start seeing your life move towards the summit? If you will, I want you to come down when I pray. I want you to grab one of these things. I want you to have a moment with God somewhere where you commit to own your zone, own your mountain. I cannot own it for you, but in this grabbing of the little hook, you're saying, I am locking in, I'm linking into my climb, I am owning my mountain, and as of today, I'm gonna start climbing. I'm gonna stop talking about climbing, I'm not gonna wander and wonder about climbing, I'm gonna climb. And so if you wanna do that today, if it's something that, sometimes we just need that moment in the natural, that actionable moment, that's what today is about. Then come on down and grab one of these and get a place with God. Just take 2 or 3 minutes. And I want you to envision that mountain. I want you to envision that summit, that promise, that call, that ministry, that breakthrough. And I want us to commit to God. I own that, belongs to me, and I lock into my climb. Father, right now in Jesus' name, as we end this series and you're talking to us about growth and going up, I pray today as people come and grab these little hooks, that God, they don't just come and stick it in their pocket, but they have a moment that you speak to them, that they speak to you, first of all, and they say yes. They say yes to the assignment. They say yes to the climb. And then God, in that moment, they lock into it. And from this day forward, they live by structure. Stay in structure. Stay in structure. God, map that out for them. Help them. Help them to determine what the micro habits are, the daily routines are, that'll start moving them every day closer to that summit. I give you thanks and I give you praise. I invite you into this powerful time with us, Lord. We open ourselves up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.